Left. Left. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Left. If we're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
To his glory we now sing.
To his glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three,
all right,
four,
Israelite hip. Warriors, this is your wake-up call. Show's wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 4th of May, 2017, and the title of today's sermon is A Ton of Bricks, because it seems that it requires a ton of bricks to fall on some people before they wake up. Now, I will be speaking to the Judeo-Christian churches here today, and all my two-seed line Christian identists out there will be nodding their heads, yeah, yeah. Because they already know. We're going to start out in the book of John. Chapter 6, verse 44. Now, the Judeo-Christian churches welcome everybody in. They are universalist in nature, and they just, it does not matter what they are racially. But Yahweh chose Israel as his special people above all the people on the earth, and he only made covenants with Israel. So how are these people that are not of Israel going to be saved in these churches? Well, in John 6, 44, it says, no one is able to come to me, that would be Yeshua, Messiah, unless the Father who sent me draws him. Well, why would Yahweh, who only chose one people on this earth above all others and only made covenants with them, draw anybody that is not of them? That's a real hard question. And they will not ponder that in the Judeo-Christian churches. Again, it's going to take a ton of bricks to fall on them before they wake up that the scripture is an Israel book. It's only to and for and about Israel. Nobody else. Let's go to John 8, 44. Now these Judeo-Christian pastors go to these seminary schools, and who runs the seminary schools and who has infiltrated them and put their doctrines in the seminary schools, and the pastors take these false doctrines and they teach them in the churches. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you wish to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay, well, these pastors in these churches have been taught their doctrine by those whose father was the devil, because that is their modus operandi, and they get these pastors to go out and they repeat over and over and over this mantra that they have been drilled in, and the congregations believe it. And it takes a ton of bricks to fall on them before they wake up. They teach that anybody can go into their church. They just welcome everyone. But let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 2. That's Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. I'm giving people a chance to turn the pages. I don't want to go so rapid fire that they get lost. Now, I'm reading the Hebrew transliteration, okay? But it'll say the same thing. Shall not come a mamzer. On the King James, they have bastard. Number 4464 in your Hebrew concordance in Strong's. Into the congregation of Yahweh, even under the generation of the tenth. Shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. Well, a generation is considered 40 years. So that would be 400 years, and they still can't come in. Now, what is 4464? A mamzer is one who is a mixed breed or a mongrel. Because Yahweh only wants pure-blooded Israelite people. That's the only ones that he is interested in. The rest exist. They live their lives. That's fine. No problem. Unless they try to attack Israel, then there's a problem. That is developing in these last days. Get a little hit of iced tea here. Now, let us go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 10, well, let me get to it here, there we are, chapter 10, verse 6, where Yeshua is sending out the 12, and he's telling them not to go into the way of the nations, that's the non-Israelite nations, and do not enter a city of the Shomeronites, that's the Samaritans. Verse 6 states clearly, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, he's not sending his disciples to anybody but Israel, because that's the only one he came for. Well, how can you say that? Well, let's go to chapter 15 of the book of Matthew, verse 24. And he says in verse 24, speaking to the non-Israelite woman, Canaanite woman, And he said quite clearly, I was not sent. Now, who sent him? Yahweh sent him. Except to the lost sheep, those in dispersion, of the house of Israel. Does a ton of bricks have to fall on someone to understand that? But they try to include everybody in their false teachings. And they go over and over and over with their false doctrine, cutting out verses of the Bible, especially what Yahshua himself said, in order to justify their doctrine. They won't preach on these things. And they teach in these churches that all the old law in the Old Testament is nailed to the cross. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, let's begin at verse 17 in chapter 5. Now, I'm reading from the Scriptures by the Institute for Scriptures Research, so it's different than the King James, because they have corrected a lot of... Wait a minute here. I got to talk myself right out of breath. That's old age for you. They've made a lot of corrections here. Verse 17 of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah, that's the law, or the prophets, which gave examples of how to live according to the Torah. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. He fulfilled the promise that the Messiah would come and would redeem Israel. And he fulfilled the need for once a year blood sacrifice for the remission of sins for the Israelites. That he fulfilled. Verse 18. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away. Has it passed away? No, it is not. One jot or one tittle, that's the dot of an I or a cross of a T, shall not, by no means pass from the Torah till all, not part, all, be done or fulfilled. Verse 19, whosoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. Okay? What are the Judeo-Christian pastors teaching? They're teaching the law has passed away. And everybody's welcome in the church. They're teaching people to break the law. And they're doing so in the name of the man they call Jesus. Whose actual name is Yahshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. They are teaching to break the law. I'm sorry, but that's it. Now let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 16. Verse 17. This is Yeshua speaking again. And if people deny this, and they say, no, it's all done with, they're calling the Messiah a liar. Are they not? Doesn't take a ton of bricks to fall on you to see that. It's obvious. Verse 17 of chapter 16 of the book of Luke. And it is easier for the heaven and the earth to pass away than for one tittle of the Torah to fall or fail. So if they deny these verses, they are calling Yeshua, the Messiah, a liar. And if he is a liar, how can he be the Messiah? He's a trickster. By their words. By their words. Let's go back to the book of Matthew. To chapter 27. I needed to find it. Verse 25. Now, this is a section in Matthew where the people, in other words, the people that were instigated by the Pharisees, and these people were following Talmudism. They were not practicing the Torah. They were practicing Talmudism. And they were convinced, and a lot of these people were Edomites, who do not worship Yahweh, and they were following along in the Babylonian Talmudism taught by the false priests and the Pharisees. Verse 25, and all the people answering said, his blood be on us and on our children. Well, who are these people? These were not the men of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, or Benjamin, or any of the Israelites. These were people, mostly, that were of mixed seed line with the Edomites and all the others, and they were instigated by the Pharisees, who were later called rabbis, and that they hated what Yeshua was doing, teaching the truth, because it made them look bad. So their blood, his blood, is on them. And their children, all the way down through the centuries. They are Christ killers. It's on them today. But they don't teach that in the churches. And they'll gloss over this, and it must take a ton of bricks to fall on them, to wake them up to read these verses, because they're not being taught. And if they're not being taught that in the churches, if they are not being taught that in the churches, being lazy, they don't read the scriptures for themselves. Therefore, they don't know these verses. And when the end times comes and the Messiah comes back, a ton of bricks will fall on them, but they will be burning hot bricks. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. Jesus is love, and God is love. Well, what did Yahshua Messiah do when he was confronted going into the temple with money lenders and money changers and merchants in the temple buying and selling, even on the Sabbath day? Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely Jesus. Verse 12. And Yeshua went into the set-apart place of Elohim and drove out all those buying and selling in the set-apart place and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Now, the doves were for sacrifices. Verse 13, and he said to them, it has been written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers, because they were money lenders and changers charging interest to change your money. You want to change a dollar, you get back 95 cents in coin. They bit off a piece. That's what usury is, to bite off a piece. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark. Chapter 11. Verse 15. And they came to Jerusalem. Yeshua, entering into the set-apart place, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the set-apart place and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves. And it has the rest of it. And he did not allow anyone to carry a vessel through the set-apart place. And he was teaching, saying to them, has it not been written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? That's two. Okay. That's Matthew and Mark. Let's go to the book of Luke. Chapter 19. And having entered into the set-apart place, he began to drive out those selling and buying in it. Verse 46, saying to them, it has been written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. That's three times in the scripture. Let's go to the book of John. John here. John chapter 2. Verse 14. And he found in the set apart place those selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers sitting. Verse 15. And having made a whip of cords. You understand that? Whip of cords? He drove them all out of the set apart place with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' coins and overturned the tables. Verse 16, and he said to those selling doves, take these away. Do not make the house of my father a house of merchandise. Four times. Canaanite merchants. But they don't emphasize who these merchants were in the Judeo-Christian churches. And it takes a ton of bricks to fall on these people to get them to realize that they're talking about the same people that are the Canaanite merchants today. Same people, just different time period. Oh my! Yahshua, the Messiah, made a whip and whipped these people out of the temple. Oh, boy, but he's love. Jesus is love. He wouldn't do that. He's love. God's love. We love everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Well, here's another ton of bricks to fall on you to wake you up. The book of Luke, chapter 19, Judeo-Christians. Here's another ton of bricks for you. Verse 27. But those enemies of mine who did not wish me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Oh, but he's love. Oh, he's love. Lovey, 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 lovey. Really? Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Verse 36. And he said to them, but now let him who has a purse take it, likewise also a bag, and let him who has no sword sell his garment and buy one. But he's love. He wouldn't do that. Jesus is love. Oh. That actually, unfortunately, makes me physically ill at times listening to this vomit that's coming out of their mouths. They teach this pablum and this describes part of what's going on today. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, please. Verse verse 4 through 14. Matthew 24, 4 through 14. And Yeshua answering said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. What are the Judeo-Christian churches today doing? Are they teaching the truth? Or are they leading their congregations astray? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. There are going to be false messiahs. And a lot of these Judeo-Christian churches will support those false messiahs. Verse 6. And you shall begin to hear of fightings and reports of fightings. See that you are not troubled, for these have to take place. These have to take place. Well, what's going on today? Wars and rumors of wars. But the end is not yet. Here we go. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and reign against reign. And there shall be scarcities of food. What are they doing with the crops today? And deadly diseases, what have we got today? And earthquakes in places. We just had another one here recently. I mean, we've been having earthquakes like crazy here lately. But they don't want to believe, because football's still on TV, they have beer in the refrigerator, batteries for their TV remote. And it's going to take a ton of bricks to fall on them to wake them up. In other words, TV's going to have to go off, the electric's going to go off, and the refrigerator's not going to keep their beer cold. And then they'll run out of beer, and no trucks will be running. So there won't be beer trucks bringing more beer. And they can't watch TV, and the radio won't work, and the computers won't work. And the cars won't work. They don't have gas for them because the gas stations can't pump gas. And the food stores are empty. Verse 8. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. Now this is to the true Christians. This verse 9 is speaking of Christian identity people. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you. And you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, these Muslims hate Christianity. And so do the Jews. And who's infiltrating and flooding all the nations? And stoning Christians, even here in America, like Dearborn, Michigan? Does it take a ton of bricks to fall on us to see the truth? No, it doesn't. But it takes a ton of bricks to fall on the Judeo-Christians to wake them up as to what's really going on in the world of reality, not their little fantasy that they live in. Verse 10. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. They're going to fight among themselves. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. What are they doing in the Judeo-Christian megachurches? Especially TV churches. Verse Verse 12, and because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. It'll all be about me. Me, me, me. What about me? Verse 13. Here's a key verse now. Pay attention to this one. But he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. Occupy until I return was a commandment given by Yeshua. Occupy until I return. Okay. And it has a notation here. See chapter 10, verse 22. And I missed that one, so I'll just go to 10. 22. And it says, and you shall be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. This is another section on the end times. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. This is verse 21 of chapter 10. And children shall rise up against parents and shall put them to death. This is a description of what's coming. And verse 14 of chapter 24, we're back there again. And this good news, that's the gospel, of the reign shall be, the reign of Yeshua, shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, not just Israel. He's going to rule the planet. And then the end shall come. Okay. Let's go to the book of Mark. Verse 13, verse 5, and it reiterates exactly in 5 through 13, just what it said in Matthew. Okay? And verse 13, you shall be hated by all because of my name, but he who shall have endured to the end, he shall be saved. What can I say? That's a ton of bricks. And it tells these people what's coming. It does. And the grace period at the end will cease. And this warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely Jesus that they talk about is going to do this. Now, this is 2 Thessalonians. I read this all the time. This is a ton of bricks that needs to fall on the head of a lot of these sleepers out there. Here's another ton of bricks to fall. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. Now he's speaking about Israel. We are afflicted. And those who afflict us, well, we know who they are. Verse 7, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us, when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Messengers are what they call angels. It's angelos in the Greek, but messengers in the Hebrew, malach. And it parallels the Hebrew. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength. Verse 10, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that would be us, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day because our witness to you was believed. Okay. The house of Edom is going to be bundled as tares, and the house of Yosef and Jacob will be a flame. House of Israel will be a flame to burn those tares. Now, who are these tares? They were sown by the evil one, and they've mixed themselves in with us and are hiding and are the ones that are teaching these false doctrines and are subverting and perverting our society. Teaching lies, teaching immorality, promoting sodomy and pornography and race mixing, drug use, dishonest business practices, psychological manipulation through the devil vision, both sides of all the wars we've fought, in order to decimate the white race, the Caucasian people, to eliminate us, because we are true Israel and they are imposters. They impersonate us. They do some of the things that are in the Torah and promote that in the public. See, we're the chosen people, but they are not. They are liars and are of the synagogue of Satan. It says that in Revelations. Now, we are to occupy. We are to occupy the bodies that we have and the lands that we have, and we are to resist until the end. We're not just supposed to lay down before these people. Now, I am not exhorting people to violence. That is not my intent here. I'm not promoting illegal actions. But under biblical law, self-defense is not illegal. People have a right to defend themselves. The court may try to punish people for self-defense. It does it all the time because the courts are illegal courts. But when push comes to shove, you're going to have to make a decision at that point to live or die. You see the gang violence and the individual violence and the craziness and the insane people and the jihadists that are among us. They are bringing in more all the time. Society is breaking down, and when it is decided by them that they want to have a huge war, then they will engineer a war. And if they decide that they want a lot of unrest and war within our peaceful white nations, then they will do that too. But who will the war be against? Why, it'll be the non-Israelites against the Israelites. And it will also include a lot of these Judeo-Christians. They will be attacked basically because of their skin color. And they will blame it all on us. And as it said in the scripture, they will turn against us and turn us in and kill us all day long and think they do God a service. So, the Israelites need to be prepared for survival. I have promoted this heavily. I am not a pacifist, but I always advise if we are going to fight, we must fight smart. Do not do useless actions that will get you killed or thrown in jail. You cannot do any good if you are dead or in prison, locked up. And the sentences are horrendous. They will never let you out. You will be away forever. And when anarchy comes, and it will, unfortunately, if you read all about the tribulation and stuff in the book of Revelations, this is the beginning times of the violence. They are attacking the Christian identity websites. Censor, 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 silence, silence, silence. It's happening more and more often. We have experienced that with some of the pastors and posters at EFR. Book sales being banned. Hacking. Trolls. I mean, we've had it all. Had it all. More to come. It's going to get worse. There are a lot of people that think we're in the full tribulation now, and perhaps we are in the beginning stages of it. But according to what it says in Revelations and Matthew and some of the other things, I don't think it's in full swing yet. I wholeheartedly believe it's going to get a lot worse. And we need to prepare for that. Pastor Dan has suggested ARC cities, ARC counties. Good idea. If we can get a majority of people in that county, if we can get people to move into a county and elect constitutional sheriffs, that is a and put Yahweh's law in effect, that is a method of preparation. And it's legal. I am 100% behind that. I think it's a brilliant idea. It's a good concept. The only problem is the logistics of getting people to cooperate. People are the problem. The ideas are not the problem. The physical formation of a community like that would not be a problem. It's the people that would be the problem. The people that would resist, or the me crowd. They would want to come in. They would want to be high potentates right away. They wouldn't want to be a worker ant like the rest of us. They want to be in charge. Well, that would be up to the people involved as to who would be the most competent leader and a good organizer. And Yahweh will have a hand in that. Something is going to have to happen with our people. A ton of bricks is going to have to fall on a lot of the heads of even Christian identists. Yes, we're awake, we know. But getting us to move and act is the most difficult part. I do what I can as an old man of 70 years to put good ideas out, and so do the other pastors on EFR, putting out information. You can't make good decisions unless you are informed of facts. We do that, making people aware of different things. That's all part of it. We need to foster among our people a spirit of racial kinship and cooperation. That is what we need to do more than anything else. It's to motivate people to proper, intelligent action. How do we do that? I can only place ideas before you. Getting you to act is going to have to be self-motivation. Unfortunately, a lot of people will procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate, and a ton of bricks will fall on them. But they won't have time to get ready, and they're going to go down. What can I say? I grieve for those people. I guess as time goes on and things get scarier, and they will, more people will wake up. But for people that wait until the last moment, that ton of bricks will fall on them and it will kill them. Because that ton of bricks will be the complete breakdown of society, and they won't be prepared for survival, therefore they won't survive. I mean, I'm not asking anybody to do what I haven't already done. I have my go bag, I've got medical supplies, I've got protein bars and food and water and water purification that I can take with me, cold weather gear, hot weather gear, sleeping gear, shelter, all in compact little package that this old man can transport. I've got a heavy pack, but I put my knee braces on. I don't care how much my knees hurt. I'll hoof it. If somebody's trying to shoot me, I'll guarantee you this old man will walk, and I'll walk him into the ground just because I'm so stubborn and mean. You get somebody chasing me with an AR, wanting to put a hunk of copper jacketed lead in me, I'm gone, man. Bye. Spiritual preparation. The motivation for the physical preparation comes from spiritual preparation. Prepare your family spiritually. Teach your children the word so they understand, Daddy, why are we doing this? Why are we leaving the house? Well, son, remember all the Bible study that we had? Yeah. Well, this is the passages that I read you that it's going to be bad times for a while, son. And you need to trust in Yahweh, and your mommy and your daddy will do our very best to take care of you. And the kid's got his own little pack, what he can carry. Kids can't carry all what an adult has. Somebody's going to have to bear that child's burden and take care of that child. He's got to have sleeping gear. He's got to have warm clothes. He's got to have cool clothes. He's got to have water. He's got to have food. He's going to need an extra pair of shoes. If he wears glasses, he's going to need spare glasses. He's going to need hygiene to keep clean. Because if he gets an infection, it could kill him. Got to have medical stuff. When you bring a child into the world, you need to be able to take care of that child, even during the tribulation. And that's the time that I'm talking to you about that you need to prepare for. The fate of your family is at stake. And there's going to be a remnant, and a remnant is a small part of the whole. It's not the majority. There's going to be a few, and there are going to be people that just don't have oil for their lamps, and they're going to be shut out. I just don't want you and your family to be some of those people. I want you to make it. Because I am an Israelite, Yahweh is my Elohim, and I care about my racial kindred. And I will do whatever I can do to help. But you cannot expect others to give you a bunch of their stuff so their survival is at risk if they've got a family. Personal responsibility is the key. You must be personally responsible for your duties and the welfare of your family. And believe me, it can get really ugly. You're not going to camp out for a week. You're going to camp out for years, quite possibly. If you read the book of Revelations with the water and the trees and the grasses being burned up and poisoned and destroyed, it's ugly. Okay? You're not just going to be able to go anywhere and stay in a motel. That's not happening. It's going to be pretty primitive because everything's going to break down. The power grid's down. If you live in a city, you're going to have to leave. Because it's going to be total anarchy and murder. And if you have something and the thugs want it, they will kill you and take it. Just simple. You see what they do now. Home invasions. And it's not even full anarchy yet. Be prepared. Be prepared. That's all I can say. Learn archery. Learn bows and arrows. It's silent. It's deadly. You can take game with it if you can find some, or you can protect yourself with it if you have to. And it's cheap, really, for what you get. Get extra bowstrings, lots of extra arrows and broadheads. It's amazing what you can do with a bow. So, all I can say is be a Boy Scout and be prepared. What can I tell you? Coming down the end of the hour here, and I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem, and I will talk to you again next week on the next Wake Up Call. Praise Yahweh. May He bless and keep you.
Live. Live. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory.